Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
And welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo, and we're back from vacation, and we're glad that you're joining us. Tonight we have an interview with George Dixon. Yes, the very George Dixon that's usually on Friday nights. We had him on Tuesday night with us on our Q103.
Our FM show out of Lakeville, Connecticut, and as usual, we tape that interview and we'll bring that to you in a little while.
Yeah.
But before
we
do
were talking
that,
about the Mayan calendar there, and had a nice discussion. So hopefully you'll be able to stick around and join us on that one.
But
and,
before we do that, we'll bring you some news.
Yeah. So if you hang on 1 second, I just wanted to double check here and make sure that everything is good on our little switchboard. And I'm going to go to a few headlines. There was, where was it when I started here? I thought this was interesting. We've been talking a lot about the flu, so the swine flu, and we wanted to mention what was actually in the flu thing, and there's an article here that we can talk about if you'd like, Leather.
Sure.
If you'd like to talk about this, that's...
Nevada, the second contender, also had an agreement with WHO for a pandemic vaccine.
World Health Organization, right?
Nevada appears to have won the contract since the vaccine is now near completion. What is terrifying is these pandemic vaccines contain ingredients called immune adjuvants that a number of studies have shown cause devastating autoimmune disorders, including rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and lupus. Animal studies using these adjuvants have found them to be deadly. A study using 14 guinea pigs found that they were injected with the special adjuvant, and only one animal survived. A repeat of the study found the same deadly outcome. So what is this deadly ingredient? It's called squalene, a type of oil.
And
let's see.
What is the danger of squalene? Doctor, presentation on squalene during the second hour of your program last night. And he was talking about...
this is off of Rents.com.
Rents.com, yeah. And
in looking for some verification, the million times more squalene that was in vaccine A that caused the catastrophic Gulf War I illness, which ruined the lives of hundreds of thousands of troops and killed thousands of others, I came across this article, What's the Danger of Swine Flu Vaccinations, by Dr. Anders Brun-Larsen. So as you see, there is no confusion with regard to swine flu and bird flu viruses, but there is another important consideration, the role of squalene. The average quantity of squalene injected into U.S. soldiers abroad and at home in the anthrax vaccine during and after Gulf War was 34.2 micrograms per billion micrograms of water, according to one study. This was the cause of the Gulf War syndrome in 25% of 1,697 U.S. personnel out of 697,000 U.S. personnel at home and abroad. You can find this table of FDA analysis from the Gulf War lots on the Military Vaccine Recovery Directory resource.
And they have a different breakdown of the amount of squalene. Values were confirmed by our professor, R.F. Gary, before the House of Representatives. Prof. Gary was the man who discovered the connection between the Gulf War syndrome and squalene. And according to his findings, Gulf War syndrome was caused by squalene, which was banned by a federal court judge in 2004 from the Pentagon's use. As seen on page 6 of the EMEA document, the pandemic's vaccine contains
10.68
milligrams of squalene per 0.5 milligrams
Milliliters.
Or milliliters, yeah. This corresponds to 2.136
micrograms per billion microgram of water.
Right.
That is 1 million times more squalene per dose than in 4.
Four is the, I don't know, but the Gulf War one. And there is any reason to believe that this will make people sick. There is any reason to believe that this will make people sick to a much higher extent than in 1990-91. This appears murderous to me.
And that was from Global Research.
Right. Then in looking from the confirmation, and Novartis putting AIDS in their vaccine, GP120 and HIV-AIDS protein in their vaccines, I found the following. The vaccine may be more dangerous than swine flu. And Novartis, the second contender, also has an agreement with WHO for a pandemic vaccine. Did we read that part?
Vartis appears to have won the contract since their vaccine is near completion. What is terrifying is that these pandemic vaccines contain ingredients called immune adjuncts.
Adjuvants,
and that's what we read.
Autoimmune disorders, including rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and lupus are caused by this. And animal studies using this adjuvant have found them to be deadly. Study using 14 guinea pigs found that they
were injected,
and all of them died. Okay, and so what is the deadly ingredient? It's called squalene, a type of oil. And the Chiron company, maker of the deadly anthrax vaccine, makes an adjuvant called MF59, which contains two main ingredients of concern, squalene and GP120. Number of studies have shown that squalene can trigger all of the above-mentioned autoimmune diseases when injected.
Mm-hmm.
And MF59 adjuvant has been used in several vaccines. These vaccines, including tetanus and diphtheria, are the same vaccines frequently associated with adverse reactions. All right? Yeah, everybody's heard that. Tetanus and diphtheria, especially tetanus, you can get adverse reactions. I reviewed a number of studies on this and found something quite interesting. Several studies done on human test subjects found MF59 to be a very safe immune adjuvant. But when I checked to see who did these studies, I found to no surprise that they were done by the Novartis Pharmaceutical Company and Chiron Pharmaceutical Company, which have merged, and they were all published in prestigious medical journals. Also, to no surprise, a great number of studies done by independent laboratories and research institutions all found a strong link between MF59 and autoimmune diseases.
Squalene in vaccines has been strongly linked to the Gulf War syndrome. On August 1991, Anthony Principi, Secretary of Veterans Affairs, admitted that soldiers vaccinated with the anthrax vaccine from 1990 to 91 had an increased risk of 200% in developing the deadly disease amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, also called Lou Gehrig's disease. The soldiers also suffered from a number of debilitating and life-shortening diseases such as polyarteritis nodosa, multiple sclerosis, lupus, transverse myelitis, a neurological disorder caused by inflammation of the spinal cord, endocarditis, inflammation of the heart's inner lining, optic nerve neuritis with blindness, and glomerulonephritis, a type of kidney disease. The second ingredient, one that greatly concerns me, is called GP120, a glycoprotein. Researchers found when it was mixed with squalene, the glycoprotein became strongly antigenic. That is, it produced a powerful and prolonged immune response to the vaccination. In fact, their studies show that with each dose, the intense immune reaction lasts over a year. Now for the shocker, the glycoprotein GP120, a major component of MF59 vaccine adjuvant, is the same protein fragment isolated from HIV, the virus that is responsible for the rapid dementia seen in AIDS patients. Studies have shown that when GP120 is taken up by the microglia cells in the brain, it causes intense inflammation and makes the brain subject to excitotoxic damage, a process called immunoexotoxicity. This is also the cause of MS and optic neuritis associated with vaccines that contain MF59. So how would the GP120 get into the brain? Studies of other immune adjuvants using careful tracing techniques have shown that they routinely enter the brain following vaccination. What most people do not know, even the doctors who recommend the vaccines, is that most such studies by the pharmaceutical companies observe the patients for only 1 or 2 weeks following vaccination. These types of reactions may take months or even years to manifest. It's obvious that the vaccine manufacturers stand to make billions of dollars in profits from the World Health Organization government-promoted pandemic. Novartis, the maker of the new pandemic vaccine, recently announced that they would not give free vaccine to impoverished nations. Everybody pays. One must keep in mind that once the vaccine is injected, there is little you can do to protect yourself, at least by conventional medicine, and will mean a lifetime of crippling illnesses and early death. There are much safer ways to protect oneself from this flu virus, such as higher doses of vitamin D3, selective immune enhancement using supplements and a good diet.
And this was an excerpt by Dr. Blaylock. And the author was Gary
Jacobucci.
So anyway, we thank him for that.
That was off of David Icke's site, and that was from Rents.com.
Just go to Rents.com, yeah. And a million times more squalene. The article.
Very scary.
Now we got that's all the contents. Not sure what that means. The article's gone. Iran discovers vast new oil reserves. And Iran has discovered more than 8.8 billion barrels of oil in 4 layers of reserves in the country's southwestern Susangerd oil field. These reserves were discovered after drilling through all the new layers of reserves to a depth of 5,000 meters or 16,489 feet. And the expected and possible amount of reserves in the field is over 8.83 billion barrels. It's huge. Iran's oil minister, Ghulam Nazari, said in a statement on Monday, really big, really big reserves. What did you want to look at? This one?
No, this one.
I don't know. Is that, that's just the Bernanke.
Oh.
I don't know if I want to get into that. Be still valuable. No. I want to talk about the space elevator. But before I do that, there's one. Since we were on the topic of, since we were on that topic, I wanted people to hear this. Oops. Right here. Plans to take children from schools for mass vaccinations.
Okay.
Let's see. It's about 6 minutes long, but I think it's worth listening to.
People should hear this.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy theories.
They've been crazy, but now they're right. There's a document that I found that I haven't seen anywhere. I mean, I haven't seen any major news source talk about this. I mean, I haven't seen it on CNN, Fox News. No one's talking about this news piece or this news story I found. I stumbled across, I don't know how I got it, sometimes I don't know how I get things, but that just happened somehow, a PDF, it was a flyer about this international swine flu conference. And when I started reading some of the contents of this conference, guess what? It's taking place today. It's right now. It took place Wednesday, Thursday, and then they're having the workshops on Friday. Wait till I show you some of the stuff they're talking about. They're talking about taking your kids from you. They're talking about mass quarantine. They're talking about mass vaccinations. Oh, you don't believe? Look at this. Look at this. Okay, here is the International Swine Flu Conference PDF, and you'll see there it says Washington, D.C., and it says there that top leaders and key decision makers of major companies representing a broad range of industries will meet with distinguished scientists, public health officials, law enforcement officials, responders, and other experts to discuss pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response and recovery at the first International Swine Flu Summit. How exciting, isn't it? Now, look here. Topics include conducting morgue operations. Why would you need to conduct morgue operations? Morgue as in people dying, killing people, as in people being put in the morgue? Yeah, that's what they're going to be discussing. Let me continue on. They're also going to be talking about mass fatality management planning. Look at concurrent breakout session number two, breakdown of public services utilities, unwillingness to follow government orders. Wait, they're having a workshop discussion on you and me and how we're going to be unwilling to follow government orders? Wait a minute. Okay, so mass morgue planning, and then also in the same conference, they're going to be planning on how to deal with the unwillingness of government orders. Sounds like a conference that I want to be a part of. Let me continue on. Look at this. Concurrent breakout session number four. Disruptions of public and private critical infrastructure, undermining your essential functions, management of interruptions of food, fuel, essential supplies, supply chains, established stockpiles, manage panic caused by sudden disruption of services and interruptions of essential goods and services. Little side note, my family always have in my house about 3 to 4 weeks worth of food, water, supplies, whatever, you know, in case of something like this, where they all of a sudden there would be a stoppage of essential supplies. I encourage everyone to have a month or so of, you know, essential stuff that you need. Look, there's a swine flu conference going on right now talking about these things. So guess what? You and I need to be prepared for these things if they're talking about this. Let me continue on. Concurrent breakout session number seven, effectively undertake mass vaccinations, enforce quarantines. They are meeting about enforcing quarantines and mass vaccinations. You guys, this is serious. People think that I'm crazy for even talking about this. They're discussing how to carry out mass quarantines and mass vaccinations. And what are you and I talking about? We're talking about where we're going to eat dinner for tonight and American Idol and whatever. I mean, do you understand the severity of what's happening? Power is knowledge. We need to be prepared. Let me just show you a couple more things. They're talking about in concurrent breakout session number eight, control traffic, evacuations, and mass transportation. Let me drop down to number 12 here. Number 12 was alarming. Train teachers to screen for symptoms and know what to do when students / teachers fall ill. Transport ill students. Are they saying that they're going to teach teachers how to detect who is sick in the classroom and then call public officials, call the police, say, little Johnny is sick here, and we need to come pick him up? Are they teaching students, are they teaching teachers how to be, watchdogs, and then what's going to happen? The police officer is going to come to the school, take the child away to one of these internment resettlement specialist camps. This is what they're planning. They're trying to teach people how to carry out these mass vaccinations, quarantines, and now they're teaching the students in this conference how to detect if a kid is ill and how to call the public officials and then transport that ill child. That's what it says, transport the ill child for what and where and without the consent of whom? You guys, this is a serious issue, and nobody is talking about it. I don't see a news source, period, discussing the PDF and the swine flu conference that I talked to you about today. Where is it?
We got time for about one more quick article, and something here I saw. I think we should note. Want to hear the swine flu song?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Don't inject me.
Sure.
Let's see. I'll wait a couple of minutes.
Vaccinated. Swine flu is coming back like a viral attack. It's like 7 to 6. You gotta cover your back, but not just the vaccine. Don't give into that, because those medical quacks are making money off that.
They wanna inject you, infect you with the vaccine and say they protect, but they reject your immunity and if you protect, they arrest you and they lock you down.
Can people like that walking around contagious? The truth is outrageous. Baby, don't you know the drug company made this flu? And if you're thinking you wanna obey this, then you gotta say this.
Don't inject me, don't infect me.
Don't stick that needle in my arm and chemically wreck me.
Don't inject me, don't infect me.
Don't stick that needle in my veins and medically wreck me.
Don't use me, don't abuse me.
Don't push your medical lies and try to confuse me.
Don't trick me, don't you dick me.
With that needle in your hand, don't you dare try to prick me. Don't you know the swine flu is made by man? Pharmaceutical scam. It's all part of the big brother population plan. But the thing I don't understand is why they're in Mexico City in an unmarked military van. They don't want you to see the remedy. You can stop influenza with vitamin D for free. Herbal medicine is all that you need. But they can't charge a $50 fee.
They inject you. They infect you.
They stick a needle in your arm and chemically wreck you.
They use you. They abuse you.
They say they're saving your life, but they really confuse you.
What? All you parents, grab your kids and shoot them up just like guinea pigs. Inject your teens and your babies in the crib. And when they get paralyzed, that's when you realize there's no way to undo what you did.
The big drug companies are making the killing, collecting the billions and getting away like a James Bond villain, because they're willing to do almost anything just to make money with the flu vaccine.
That song is called Don't Inject Me, the Swine Flu Song by Mike Adams and the Health Rangers. That's on YouTube. You check that one out.
And I think that's from Nature News.
No, YouTube.
Natural News, I think it's...
No.
That's what it says.
Oh, it says?
Well, I think so.
No.
But you can download it and play it.
Yeah. So Don't Inject Me, Swine Flu Vaccine Song.
Very good.
Yep.
I enjoyed that. I thought it was good. Very good. We should play that on our show.
I was thinking of playing that on our Wednesday show.
Can you download it and I think you ought to do that.
I think I will do that.
Make a good music for
it. It would. Let's see. Oh, one more I wanted to mention tonight. And Lila,
I was kind of interested in this.
Yeah, we thought this was kind of fun.
Space elevator.
Hang on just 1 second. We'll just go right into it. And then we'll get on with our interview.
Let's see.
Space elevator faces reality.
Like almost everything else in the space vision business, the enthusiasts who foresee a railway to space are adjusting their high-flying dreams to fit down-to-earth realities. We don't have all the questions, let alone all the answers, Michael Lane, head of the Liftport Group, told an audience of about 50 people on Saturday during the 2009 Space Elevator Conference on Microsoft's campus in Redmond, Washington. Microsoft is a partner in the MSNBC.com joint venture.
Hmm. Lane probably knows as well as anyone how few answers are available. Liftport's website is still counting down toward the goal of putting a real live space elevator into operation by 2031. but Lane's year-long quest to turn the concept into an actual business left him hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt by 2007 with a legal cloud hanging over his head. And Lane put Liftport into mothballs and lay low for 2 years, spending part of that time in the International Space University study program. It's only been in the past few months that he's been able to lift his head above the clouds again. And we went through some difficult times, we wrote last month in a newsletter, but are beginning to get all those issues settled in to a point where Liftport will rise again.
Lane told me today that his legal troubles are kind of in a strange point of limbo, and that he's still massively in debt, but he has enough hope for future ventures that he's willing to get back into the space elevator game rather than moving on to more conventional business ventures. I'm actually really happy to be back out of there, he said. The space elevator concept is one of the highest flying ideas out there. Imagine a super strong tether swinging out, say 100,000 miles from the Earth's surface with laser-powered robots shuttling up and down from a ground or sea-based station to an orbital platform. If such a thing could be built, the idea's proponents say the system could cut the cost of putting cargo into space from $10,000 to $100 per pound. The idea is that at least a century old and most famously popularized by science fiction guru Arthur C. Clarke, who once said the space elevator would succeed 50 years after everyone had stopped laughing. At last year's space elevator conference, pioneer researcher Bradley Edwards said the first elevator could be built within 15 years at a cost of $7 billion to $10 billion. The speaker at this year's conference took a far more sober view than of the financial and technical resources that would be required. That's not the rosy number that you hear, said Ben Shelfliff of the Spaceward Foundation, who manages two NASA-backed contests for space elevator technologies. In a technical paper presented at the conference, Shelfliff concludes that the conditions required for a working space elevator are actually very difficult to satisfy at any price. That's the bad news. The good news is that the technologies needed for a theoretical space elevator project could well lead to payoffs, even if the elevator itself never gets built.
Right. And it goes on. The article
quite a long article.
Very long, actually. But, you probably want. You might want to check it out. It's on...
David Icke.
No, it's on Cosmic Log. The Cosmic Log. Check it out. Space Elevator Faces Reality. And you can also look at davidicke.com. Go there. He has it on. He has it posted on his website. So let's see. That's about it. And there's plenty more things to go on, but I think it's important that you take a look at it and get with the. Check it out. So, we're going to go away to our interview with our guest, George Dixon. And it was a very good interview, actually, and I enjoyed it. Lila and I always enjoy talking to George. And we hope that you enjoy it as well. Yeah.
Too.
And it's relating to the Mayan calendar.
Beginning of the cycle.
Oh, I meant to say, I'm sorry that the first minute or so of the interview was we had a technical problem, it was cut off, but it lasts about 30 minutes.
Which we're taking back to the what was the galactic time period that you mentioned?
What do you mean? You mean where we are right now?
Where we started from. We're going back to the 1800s.
Yeah. Oh, you mean on the timeline?
That's right.
Well, right now we're 1965, kind of 66 period.
In 1999, we started this new cycle, and basically it's 13 years into the end of the wind-up, if you want to call it that.
Right.
So what we're experiencing now is from the previous cycle, we're 20% less than what the last cycle of the time periods that we were working with. Now, we're working with a segment that lasts 360 days or 1 year. But the following cycle, we can go back and follow the patterns on that. That basically was 20.1 years.
Yeah.
So if you would go back a generation, basically a maturity or a time period was 20 years,
right,
where it distinguishes the different cultures or different
advancements and different generations.
Well, different generations. Yeah.
So the point that George is making is that each cycle gets shorter and shorter as time moves along. And
until the finale, which is
right. And if you looked at it visually, you could look at it actually in the shape of a pyramid. The beginning cycle is the biggest and the longest.
Which is 16.1 billion years.
Right. And then as you come up the pyramid, each cycle is shorter,
right,
and smaller. And it's built on the fact that we have an accumulation of knowledge, I think.
That's
and then
right.
As our knowledge accumulates, we are able to process and speed up and move along more quickly until we reach the apex of development,
which is the seventh, which is the universal period, which is what we're coming into right after the sixth night of the galactic period.
It's in a time cycle, and the Mayans go back 16.4 billion years, and that basically is when it started. And each time we evolve, I'm talking about evolve as a species, we lose or we gain 20% in time, just like the fifth day in the first cycle was 260 million years, compared to the cycle now, which is 1 year, 360 days. But the period before this, the 20 years, it was between 1931 and 1951 that we experienced a complete cycle. So what we're doing is we're completing now a day cycle, which is the sixth day, which is the period from 1951 to 1971 to 72.
Yeah.
So if you take a look at the events since then, you'll see a rehash of things that were started back in the last generation.
Yeah.
When we started this, I think we were working with the events of 1931 to 1951.
We were.
And with it, go back to the normal cycle of things that happened at that time.
Right.
We had the banking collapse.
Right. And this was only, November, say, the 5th, when that period came in was what? When this last period, the galactic period, began.
Mm-hmm.
Which was 1999.
1999, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so 99, and that was similar to what, 1931 to 1951, when we started, and then that, and then.
No.
I'm getting a little confused on a timeline because essentially what happened is we're now into the sixth day as of November of last year to November of this coming year,
which
will bring us into the sixth night.
Our
timeline that we're talking about is a parallel, okay, to the happenings that happened in the last century.
The Mayan calendar is basically the history of man,
right,
with the repeating cycle.
It's the history of creation. It's
right.
The documentation of creation.
Right, and that's a better word.
From 16.4 billion years, which really establishes the cellular period, okay, then we go into the mammalian period, okay, then we go into, it's 13, okay, basically, but so we're...
And so on. But within each of these cycles is the repetition of certain things that come together that repeat events.
That repeat itself.
Right. And we have an opportunity during these times to improve and do better.
Right.
Hopefully.
It's a matter, we have the choice to do better,
mm-hmm,
but it's a matter of going with the flow of the evolution, just like going back, let's say, in the 1800s, when we started this larger cycle before this one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Value was gold, silver, and jewels.
Right.
And yet that was replaced at that time, but the Industrial Revolution started, with banks and banks were adapted. Now the banks, to handle this value, if you want to call it, start producing bills, money. So actually, it evolved. Money evolved to paper money.
Right.
And of course, going back to 1912 with the Federal Reserve System, it was replaced almost completely with a bank note or a ledger in a book.
Right.
Yeah. So since then, we evolved where we no longer need paper, but the paper is worthless. It's an illusion to begin with.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we replaced it with credit cards or with computer computer digits and or electrons in a machine.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
but that's similar to, and our technology has gone. So it's just, I mean, it's just moving along. Our currency seems to be moving along with our technology.
It's evolving into the next state.
And the amazing thing that, I mean, the dollar amounts or the money amounts that we're talking about today weren't even conceived, okay? Weren't even conceivable back, you know, even 100 years ago, okay? Because most people thought of it in coins. There was money.
Okay, that, I have to turn this tape over. So if you just bear with me 1 second. We'll continue. Hopefully everything will work well. Okay.
It's now we're into the quadrillions of dollars. Okay, you know that totally phenomenal. But
well, with everything, Leo, it's got to come to a complete cycle.
Right.
Where it's ran a cycle, but the problem here is that the currency values in other countries and even Europe differ than the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where the problem is. Mm. It's because the illusion of actually having something, which is paper, notes, and so forth, is not real.
Yeah.
There's nothing behind it, nothing backing it.
Yeah,
in this country, I should say.
Well, nowhere, actually, because we talked about...
Well, they have central banking everywhere, even China.
Well, yes, but they have other ways of banking. And in some banks, I mean, you do have, you still retain some value in what you have. And, of course, we're going back to gold, silver, or jewels.
Yeah. Or and oil, basically, dollars backed by oil.
Or the ability of people to work.
Right. Well, with the Mayans, understand also there's 13 different segments that we are to experience and evolve using whatever is at our... available to us,
right.
And you're dealing with finances. That is one of the situations now that's returning, and now we're feeling the ramifications of what's next, what now. But with these 13 segments, six of them are daylight, and seven of them are dark, the dark period, or nighttime. So understand the polarity of, let's just say, good and bad. You know, they would express some type of stereotyping, you know, dealing with putting a value on it.
Oh, yeah, must remember, too, though, there's not a seventh night to this universal period.
No.
It ends on the seventh day.
Seventh day.
And the seventh night, the seventh day of the universal period is when we, as humans, have reached the apex of our
development
of the consciousness cycle that we're
in, right, in our third dimensional reality as well. So in time and space, at that point, according to this prophecy, time and space will no longer exist in the form that we're aware of,
as
we understand it, in a third dimensional reality. And so this lends to the concept of fourth dimensional
possibilities,
the fourth dimensional state that we will be evolving into. And that fourth dimensional state is one without time and space. Okay, it's one of just all that we understand.
It's above the restrictions of three dimensions.
So what we are now will not be. Okay, then. I mean,
we wouldn't have the strings attached to it,
right.
Time offers or time would hold us, and even with just matter itself.
Right. Yeah. So we'll be able. I mean, we're talking a period of time that's only in 2 years. You know, 3 years. Okay, where we will be at a point where not only technologically but also spiritually,
Well, that's
physically, mentally, at a point where we will be able to manifest
all that we need, all that we desire. Okay, without industry, without anything. I mean, these things, we will be beyond the illusion of the third dimensional. These things to exist. All these things will exist as we desire them, okay, to be.
Right, but yeah. It's in the changing of these times. I mean, it's right. In 2012, it's not going to exist, you know, out of clear blue sky.
No, but it'll gradually, as people understand.
Well, it's more than gradually, and understanding the cycle that we're in. Mm. We're in a day cycle now, which we are experiencing a height of the zenith of our technology, but we're being exposed to the residue of what we've left behind.
Yeah.
And it's the old system. And what we can't do and what we've been trying to do is repair that old system. You know, it's like a watch that doesn't have the spring doesn't work, so you just can't replace the spring and think that it's going to be okay.
So we have to throw it out and get
right
that
now,
yeah.
It's a matter of throwing it out,
yeah,
and starting afresh. Without the strings attached to it as much as we can. And we are a third-dimensional beings, yes, but we also live in a fourth-dimensional reality, which there is no time. So right now it's just connecting to that state that does exist within us. And it's reaffirming our beliefs in the reality that we have around us and just going forward. And it's a matter of wanting something, and the want itself will attract it or draw it to you. I mean, you are a product of your own thinking. You draw to you what you think and how you see the world.
And you also create your own reality. I mean, you're basically creating your own reality. I mean, you're sharing that reality with some people, or with many people, but you're creating it at the same time. You know, and it's that understanding that you are creating your own reality every second of the day, right? That as you, what you desire or what you most want is what you will attract.
Will attract to you, right?
All right, and that will create the scenario of that will create your reality. Okay, and so if you want death and destruction and misery and depression and so on, okay. Basically, that's what you're going to get. But if you desire greater things, if you desire to be away from that, if you desire peace, if you desire love, if you desire all of these things, and really work to achieve them, or consider, you know, put them in your mind in ways that are anchored to realities, to your reality, then your whole existence will change, and those things will be attracted to you. You know, you will attract those elements that you most desire. You know, and if that's love or it's fine.
Well, that's just what you do. And some people. Yeah.
Some people don't believe that.
They don't believe that.
Oh no.
And yet, you know, there is a world and there is a heaven for their mind. And,
oh,
you know,
right.
They will. It's like water will seek its own level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that there are lower level or worse levels than others. There are different levels than others, and you just be attracted to and have to live within that environment.
What always amazed me was when I read this a number of years ago, but we've spoken about it as well. What happens to people when they die, when they physically die, is that they can be so caught up in this physical world, okay, that they can't escape it even after their death. They're still part of it, and that's where you get the poltergeist. That's where you get the spirits that, you know, can't.
Some people believe that, not everyone.
Well, I'm not saying this is fact. You know, this is what is believed. All right.
By some.
Yes, Lila. Let's put this in parentheses. Some people believe. Okay. Not everybody believes. Some people believe this. Okay. Some people believe we exist, Lila, that we are actually here. Other people don't even know we exist because they're not tuned into our show. So, but for those of you who might believe and who are listening to this program, all right, what I'm trying to say is that poltergeists or the paranormal, whatever, the spiritual level, the spiritual world, exists in different on different levels,
a level
of different dimensions, and what the people are trapped. Many people are trapped into living still, even though they've passed on. Their bodies have died. Their spirits are still here. They're here because they can't break away from this reality. Okay, and once they do, once they understand that they are they're not confined here any longer, then they move, evolve, they assimilate into that other dimension where they should be, you know, they rise to another level. And desiring something else, but whatever it is that they stayed on Earth.
Well, they arise to a different level.
A different level.
It doesn't have to be
bad. No, it could be bad, it could be good, but it's not necessarily heaven, not necessarily hell.
There, you know, there is an evolution in all phases of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I take a look in following the Mayan calendar on a personal level, you know, following the news of the world and news of this country, and, you know, I'm always looking for an alternative here. There's, you know, there is two ways to everything.
Yeah.
And I always take the cleaner road or the righter or the more unity road. And, you know, I take a look at the evolution that we're going through with money. I mean, look at things are happening right now, and they're going to change, and they are changing, and the way we do business. And yet I take a look at China, and China is going through its own evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have their own ways of dealing with problems. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, they're raising themselves up, are becoming more efficient in their products. And, I mean, it was like our generation years ago. Everything came out of Japan, you know, cheap and so forth. But they have good products. I mean, the Japanese, their engineering is superb.
I think as far as the Chinese, because they're building a middle class, a large middle class, that middle class wants decent products as well. Right? And so they're demanding that of their own country.
But Leo, you know, everything in due course, in a sense of evolving, the Chinese have a problem, and there's one problem right now. That I think there were 60 children that died of lead poisoning because of one of their manufacturing plants, who smelted steel. Apparently, one of the ingredients was killing these children. And you know, it's the regulations and so forth that came afterwards that is helping the Chinese with their problems of product control and so forth.
I understand they executed the heads of these plants.
That's right. Well, you know, while we're reading about Goldman Sachs and so forth, and how we deal with our executives, I mean, this is one example. You bargain with them, you know. But the Chinese do not do that. There was...
There's great shame in killing 60 children.
That's right. In fact, what happened is that the town people themselves went right up to the offices and went right to the business people who were in that place. And I believe there was one guild. They said police on fire, cars on fire. And, you know, when you have a mob of people who are looking for revenge, you know, they're going to...
They better do something.
But what the Chinese do is that there was three executives that were found taking bribes and kickbacks. They executed them.
Yeah.
Period.
Did they cut off their heads?
Yes, they did.
That's usually what they do.
And, you know...
Cut off his head.
You take a look at how other countries deal with their problems, you know, and I'm talking about political problems, included. You know, they don't give it a second thought. They deal with it once and for all, and that's it.
That's called a final solution.
But that's their way. That's not our way. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other ways of handling this. But there are other strains going on in the world, and that's my main focus. I think with what the Mayans are saying during this period of prosperous days in the sixth day. What's happening is that the experiences we had from the previous day and night, which is the fifth day and the fifth night, the fifth day basically brought a peak to, you know, our technology of having it, with nanotechnology and so forth. But the nighttime period also is the black period, how this stuff could be used, you know, for secret operations or for private means and so forth. And
better bombs.
And held back.
Yeah, better bombs and better, you know,
so
greater military interventions and everything. Yeah,
sure, sure.
Wars. In other words, on the fifth day, you have the best of, and then on the day, rather, you have the best of, and on the night, you have the worst of the application of it.
Well, that's right. It's a reflection.
In all of it.
It's a reflection of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And looking at it.
Good or bad, but it's like it could be very bad, or it could have great the benefits to whatever.
If nothing else, it gave us an understanding of the good side and the bad side, or seeing it, lived it.
Right.
So the day that we're in, the sixth day right now, is implementing new changes, or seeing it from a different light, from a unity type of light.
And it's
separately.
That every sixth day, there is a renaissance. It's kind of a renaissance.
Right.
It's kind of an explosion of myths and
advancements.
So everything is explodes into a great advancement of technology, art, science, you know, everything. And
well, for instance, the other day on the news, I heard about the space elevator that they were talking about. But I was telling George about that.
Microsoft is involved in creating a space elevator. Okay, that would basically transport people.
So we wouldn't be using rockets to send people to the moon, or
just get in and press a button and go, you know.
But I think this is all a sideshow, to be truthful, because
you do.
We have a lot of this technology
already.
Yeah, we do, and I think it's got to be exposed, it's got to come out.
But actually,
when John was talking before, you know, if you take a look at the HAARP program,
right,
which is electromagnetic contamination,
right.
But if you use the principles behind electricity, what you could do is that you can emanate a frequency that would actually destroy any virus and actually destroy it. So, you know, we have the ability, the technology to do that, but it's a matter of implementing it. Now, I've been working with years with a friend of mine, Peter Moon, in the Montauk series, but in the last couple of years, he has teamed up with David Anderson, who is a known physicist, who has patents on manipulating time by of speeding up time or slowing time down. And it's amazing the principle but the technology that can come out of this. Now, they've known this for years. I'm talking about the private groups and even the private academic groups and the government too. But using this openly, let's say to manipulate organ transplants,
mm-hmm.
kidneys, hearts, and, you know, reverse the aging process. You know,
the damage that's done, yeah.
That just a small period of time that would have implementing a benefit to us. But it's using this technology. Now, well, let's go back to the future and changing this, or going into the past and doing this and that.
Are you talking about regenerating an organ?
No.
By going back?
But manipulating the time factors that cell or that organism is exposed to.
So it wouldn't age.
Yes, in other words,
or it would slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure it has to do with...
Let's say you go back, you can bring your organ, you could isolate these
organs. Bring your organ in for
35 years, 40 years.
Check off,
For a time charge.
You can have an 18-year-old...
It's sort of like recharging your battery, if you looked at it that way. I think they really understand the human body and how to work with it now much more than
maybe
before.
What affects the human body or a living cell,
mm-hmm.
and take it from there.
But I think we're missing one thing. What is supposed to come about in the next couple of years, okay, 2012 and so on, is that we as a species are supposed to have reached the height of our evolutionary being.
Right.
Or it's all the time we have.
Right. So if we can do that, and if we're beyond that, and if time and space no longer exist, as we know, then we are living in a different dimension. We are assimilating into a fourth dimension, ascending into a fourth dimension. Then aren't we, isn't all this stuff virtually irrelevant, because all we're going to need is to think this way, and we'll be healthy. I mean, just think health, boom, it comes to us. Think, you know, all these
you don't
things
know
will
that.
No longer be, I mean, time and space will no longer have relevance to our bodies.
Well, you wouldn't have the polarity or the duality to choose from. There is no duality. And that is part of the third dimension, because it's time, and it's modulated by frequencies.
Third
and time
dimension,
is
right.
frequency modulated.
But fourth dimension, no.
No.
No, there's
no.
nothing there. It's not the same.
But we are sentient
beings.
But
it's not the same. I mean, there's no polarity.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are sentient beings that we live in a non-physical world.
Mm. But supposedly, also, we're supposed to reach this level in 2012 where we come into the universal period. Now, in that...
Well, completely, yes, but I think between now and then, we not only will touch base with that, but also we'll work to incorporate that into our lives. And what I mean is that we'll ease up, let's say, this third-dimensional bonding that we have with this reality. And that reality, we're producing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less bonding, I think, with physical matter. And instead of dealing with the physical reality, we can go to the higher reality, which doesn't include having to have material substance to hold it together.
Right.
We hold it together in our mind.
Right. And the thing which... Quite some time ago, you had mentioned to me and Lila, and brought it up in the programs, is that we have become, we as a third dimension, are dependent, have become dependent on things, okay, as they are, other people creating things, all right, that we have to learn and use and create, you know, and learn, but learn how to use or learn what to do. Okay, with them, like some guy had to invent the pen. Well, we didn't. But prior to,
what's your point?
Well, what I'm saying is there was a point in time, in our time, in our existence, prior to now, that we didn't need this stuff. We didn't need pens, or we didn't need machinery, or houses, or anything. These things were all. They were relevant.
They were natural. We had these abilities.
We had these abilities to create it within ourselves. I mean, in other words, the human potential, the individual potential, is unlimited. It is unlimited. But over time, what's happened is that forces, okay, intelligent forces.
Complacency, they call it.
And complacency developed, but intelligent forces as well, extraterrestrial possibly, but definitely intelligent, higher intelligence forces have created dependency, have made us dependent upon them to create food, okay, to create, to access water, to access, you know, to make these things that we're all dependent upon, you know.
But see, Leo, that's an illusion. That's what you think.
But what it did was not only created individual slavery to these things, it created this addiction but it also created money, created a monetary system, created all this stuff to where we suddenly dependent, we're slaves to debt, we're slaves to money. I mean, if people could just understand this, that we have unlimited want, all right, as a person, as individual, unlimited. I mean, we want everything that we can possibly.
Called greed.
Not necessarily. We have this. We have want. Okay, it's part of our makeup. And we have imagination that can create more want, unlimited want, infinite want. Okay, and the fulfillment of that, all right, is what is our suffering, where our suffering comes in, because that's where all these restrictions are made, where people in government says you can't do this, or this guy can't do that, you can't have this, you can't have that.
Yeah, but Leo,
you have $20 billion dollars.
Who do you blame?
You can't have that, and then who do you blame?
Who do you blame?
I blame myself, and I blame myself only because that I can't have what it is I want is because I haven't thought of a way to get it yet. I haven't thought of the way to attract it to me yet, okay?
Well,
and I believe that that's everybody's, that of course is everybody's issue, because restrictions are placed upon us over the millennium. Okay, to say you can't have that, you can't do that. You have religions that have come and said you can't do that. Okay, you know, you have governments, you can't do that. Okay, and we're saying, oh, we have schools, and you can't do that.
Well, Leo,
so I say, well, wait a minute, who says I can't do that? I mean, some dead guy? okay? Some guy that's been dead for 2,000 years? Who the hell is he? What is the same as, you know, some guy that's not, oh, yeah, no, but he's living 2,000 years ahead of you now. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make any
sense. I think we're kind of getting off the point.
No, the point is that individually, we can do any god thing we want, okay? Individually, we have the ability to do whatever we want and get whatever we want and so on. But the problem is that the system at large, the third-dimensional reality that we exist in, okay, has crippled us, has crushed us, has conformed us, has molded us into this robot, okay, that thinks he has to go over internal light switch on.
Do you agree with that, George?
He thinks he has to, do this job or do that thing or do that to get this, to get that. It's
okay,
not
the way it is. George, do you agree with that?
It's very easy to get caught into a Ponzi scheme or something that's going to make the day much easier.
Yeah.
And that's part of that complacency.
Yeah.
But,
complacency,
you know, we were never given, we were never told that we could think differently.
Yeah.
And if you don't tell people what they can think,
that's right,
they won't think.
That's right.
And we have the ability to think for ourselves. And the problem is that, we're left in the dark right now. We're going to have to fend for ourselves. And that's where the outside world has left us. But there are things that are important, things that are not important. And
but the key is,
we're experiencing now is the sixth day, is that we realize what's good for us and what's bad for us,
right,
and we decided to go a different way.
Right.
But understand that the old system has got to collapse. You have to change.
It is collapsing.
And that is what we're experiencing right now.
Right.
And the rejuvenation or the rebuilding of America, our economy, our medical system, will come after November when we start reaching the sixth night, because it's the battles that are going to be played out.
Right.
And, we're right now in a Renaissance period where we have the light of the day, and we have a choice now of where we want to take America, ourselves, our families, and our lives.
But I think when now that we're talking about the timeline, right now the parallel timeline, okay, is equal to 1965.
That's right.
So in 1965... And I'm trying to emphasize this as greatly as I can. In 1965, you had the Medicare,
civil rights,
Medicare, Vietnam. Okay, what do we have now? We have black president. We have Obamacare. Okay, universal health care, and Afghanistan and Iraq. Okay.
And Afghanistan, they've compared to Vietnam.
Yeah. And it's, this is what, 40-year cycle. Okay, this is the 45. It was 45 years ago that all this stuff happened, and you have this, and once you understand that was also the sixth day, okay, of that period. All right. Now, what happened in the sixth night was 68, 69, 70, 71, 72. Okay, where all of this, where the incredible political and economic upheaval, okay, that happened during that period.
Predicting another upheaval then?
I see this.
Do you see that too?
Please, another upheaval without doubt.
Well, it has to come out.
So that'll be the final crash.
That's right.
And the thing is if you're saying, well, Leo, how are you getting all this information? Well, you go back and see what happened and what the predictions were, and they're right on the damn money. Boom, 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 boom. You can see, go back and see the parallels to that and what they've stated. Now, this is a 3,500-year-old prophecy, okay, that was supposedly,
pretty accurate.
Yeah, which was supposedly given to the Mayans by extraterrestrial, actually Quetzalcoatl, I believe, was there. But at that point, that was given to them. They created this massive, perfect calendar and precision on astrological perfection, and were able to see it, understand it, and predict it right out to the end, which would be 2012.
We'll pick that up on Friday.
I was going to say, we're right at the end of the show, and that'll be a good thing to pick up on Friday.
Please join us Friday night.
Love to have you, folks.
At Friday night on lasteelshow.org. 8 o'clock, 8 to 9 o'clock. And if you want to go to check out some of our past archives, please do. Go to lasteelshow.org, press listen live. You see that big button there up on the top.
And you also can partake, right, too, in calling in.
Absolutely. If you have questions, or if to ask George or myself or Lila or input that you'd like to add to the show, we have 6 lines that we can access there.
I'd love to have you.
And it's wonderful, and we do have call-ins.
We can be a little more interactive with you.
A little different format, yeah, than right here. So we want to thank everybody, and of course we want to thank George Dixon so much for being here.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for asking.
Joining us here in the studio.
And will you join us in song?
Yeah,
I sure will.
And folks at home, sing along, too.
Yeah, join us closing out the show.
Okay, I want to thank you for joining us. That was George Dixon, and... that was last night's FM radio show on WQQQ.com. Now you can, you actually can get that show by tuning in on the internet anywhere in the world now by tuning into WQQQ.com. And then when you get there, you just go to the program section. Well, actually, it'll actually be playing once you get there. And, you know, the actual station will be, you'll hear the station. But you can press on programs as well and check out the, bring it to the L.A. Steel Show. And, you know, we're on between 8 and 10, two-hour program on Wednesday night. I'm sorry, two-hour program on Tuesday night. And but we do about a one-hour program on these internet shows Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I want to thank everybody who joined us. Please, I hope you know, change your schedule. We kind of did. We were on vacation for a week, but we're back. And again, so you can depend on hearing us here between 8 and 10, or 8 and 9, rather, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. Also, please check out our archives. You can do that anytime. So, thank you, and have a pleasant evening. And next week, tomorrow night, if you please join us. And I will believe I'll be finishing the essay that I began a week or so ago on friendship. And we'll see what comes of that. And then Friday night, you can join us again. We'll have George Dixon. And we're going to continue the topic we started on Tuesday and go further into the ramifications of the sixth night of the galactic period and where that leads, or that's going to lead us. And it's going to be a fascinating time period next year. So I wish you all a good evening, and thank you for joining us. Good night.